Welcome back to The Pen That Writes, a podcast where we talk to authors about their lives beyond the books and stories that their environment wrote for them. My name is Ayan, and I'm your host for this series where we will be in conversation with your favorite authors and ask questions that explore entirely different realities. And we are back with Palash to continue a conversation about his accounts of train journeys, a fantasy bar, and how he wishes to spend his retirement. And what about authors? Whose work do you personally really love to read every once in a while, you know?
There's a bunch of them. I mean, I think, Salinger's Nine Stories, I can reread it at any time. Really, Salinger's Nine Stories, I think that would remain one of my eternal classics. A lot of Ruskin Bond's early stuff, because I'm in Dehradun, it really relates to the landscape. And amongst local authors, Alan Seeley as well, who also, you know, writes about the local landscape. And I read a lot of short stories. So there's Lucia Berlin, there's Grace Paley, there's Mary Miller, is this American writer that I've recently discovered. She's got this book called Always Happier. I think Mary Miller currently is my favorite. I mean, I love stories, and I think she's one of the relatively newer short story writers. There's also one fairly obscure writer called Beth Nugent, and she had this incredible book of stories called City of Boys, and it's very difficult to get, and it's a very strange theme in that. It's always like a lot of single, like sisters and brothers cohabiting. And this is a running theme in all the stories. It's difficult to get that book. And then she wrote one novel after that, and I think that's all she did. And she might teach creative writing in some small American university. But man, what a collection. It was one of those secondhand bookstore discoveries. Like no one, I've never met anyone who's read Beth Nugent. I just picked it up because it was a book of stories, and you know, it was just in some secondhand store. I can't even remember. But that book, I just haven't been able to get out of my mind. I think it's just a very unusual book. And like a lot of great writers, there's not much output, you know. I mean, unlike writers who put out, you know, I don't know, Shashi Tharoor puts out at least one every 2 weeks. Devdutt Patnaik, I think, puts out one every week. She just put out two books, so she's generally obscure. And I think City of Boys is available online, but it's very expensive because it's just like very few people know about it. But it's, and there's so much else, but these are just some of the top of my head. In Indian stuff, I mean, I love that Santosh Desai's Mother Pious Lady, which was a book of his newspaper columns. There were some lovely essays about very Indian things there.
Right.
And I think these are some of the, I'm sure Raymond Carver, I mean, Elephant Cathedral. I like reading on music as well. So yeah, I mean, there is a book called This Band Could Be Your Life, which is about these punk bands in America. Huskadoo and Black Flag, and it was a friend of mine called Rana Ghose who also runs this thing called Reproduce Listening Room, where he gives a platform to a lot of avant-garde artists, those who don't get platforms. A lot of them are experimenting with noise, and it's really edgy stuff. So he had gifted me that book. He introduced me to a lot of that music. This was back in the day when he would come over from Canada with his laptop, and the laptop had a CD burner, and that was the big thing then, pre-MP3, like the CD burner, you know. Like, so I would just go and buy a stack of CDs, and he would transfer all his music, and we would write like with a sketch pen, you know, all the band names on the CD. So I still have those CD albums.
Wow.
And then after that, things changed so quickly in the music world. Then the MP3 came in, of course, and then
CD is basically non-existent now.
Yeah. So, but that book was fantastic because it was just different essays on different bands.
Right.
And then you just realized that these guys are punk, and they have short songs, but they really practiced a lot. And there's a lot of hard work that goes into even punk. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think this is some of the stuff. I'm sure I'm missing out on so much else. But
Yeah.
yeah.
So my next question is, because your answer is exactly the opposite of mine, why do you prefer train journeys over air travel?
Oh, did I say this somewhere?
Yes, you did. You said you never get tired. You don't like airports and air travel.
नहीं वो पूरा मतलब इट्स लाइक एयरपोर्ट में द होल थिंग एक तो एयरपोर्ट दूर होता है फिर वहां पहुंचने में इट्स लाइक टेक्स अ लॉट ऑफ टाइम देन देन द होल थिंग वंस यू एंटर इट्स ऑलमोस्ट यू आर ट्रीटेड लाइक अ क्रिमिनल एट एवरी स्टेप यू नो आई मीन ट्रेन यू कैन बोर्ड व्हेन इट्स जस्ट लीविंग दिस प्लेटफॉर्म एंड यू कैन जस्ट रन एंड जंप इनटू इट यू नो यू कैन गो फ्रॉम कोच टू कोच यू कैन मूव अराउंड यू कैन इवन गो टू द लू आई मीन यू नो और ओपन द door and like stand at the door and have a quick ciggy. I mean you have to be careful, but you know there is a jungle drum system in trains, so if like there's anyone coming, someone will tell you ki udhar se log aare phek do. So you know, so I quite love trains, and then I end up making friends with the attendants, and then especially long train journeys, you don't want to get off the train, you kind of make it your home, your berth becomes your home, and then you your stuff there, and the opposite of that is in an airplane. So, ghusne ke pehle, you'll have to show 20 papers. Then he'll be looking at your ID card. Then he'll be looking at your face. It's almost like you've entered the FBI, you know. Then there'll be 20,000 checks. Then they will make me take off my shoes. Then they'll make me empty out my cigarette packet. Then they will like really feel me around the balls, you know. And I'm like, dude, what have I done? In fact, I've paid through my nose to really come here. Then I'll feel hungry. Then I'll go and have a dosa, and the dosa will cost 500 rupees, you know. I mean, you know, a beer will cost like 800 rupees. This one they've kind of under aapko pakad liya hai, or we but pakad liya, mineral water will cost some another 500 rupees, you know. One coffee will also be another 500 rupees. So I'm like, ek to one you treated like a criminal, and all this like touching, feeling me everywhere, back pocket, hip pocket, open this bag, you know, that there is a this in this bag. Now what is this in the bag? I mean, I'm just like, what is this? I am not a criminal, man. I have paid you a lot of money. Uske baad, once you enter the aeroplane, yes, this doesn't get over. This is nightmare gets worse. Then you enter the aeroplane, and then they'll be like, you know, tie your seatbelt, do this, do that. You can't get up now. Now you can go to the toilet. Now you can't go to the toilet. I mean, you know, like the air hostesses are very stern, and then you will ultimately hit an air pocket, and then you will feel you're just gonna die, you know, because like especially like you know, once you hit an air pocket, it's you start thinking of all those episodes of air crash
investigation. Yes.
Yeah. So there's always that fear factor, because ultimately you're in the sky, but this train still feels safer because you're on the ground. Also, there's nothing to look out of the window in an aeroplane. I mean, you're just way above everything pretty, like clouds or whatever. You're just like, you know, air. Whereas train mein, I mean, you'll see the landscape change and, you know, and yeah, I mean, you know, the that is one of the joys of the thing in the aeroplane. Outside, there is no, it's, you know, there is no landscape. I mean, there's just air. But yeah, I still just have that basic thrill of air travel, like it. Child's thrill, you know, like when they speak of this landing, that moment when you just see the entire city. I mean, that is an incredible moment, man.
Yes.
When you're just like above everything, just for a few moments, and you can see leaving the city behind.
Right.
I mean, that is always an incredible bird's eye view perspective thing, right? That, matlab, is Delhi se main aa raha hoon, this little house where everything is so in the head, and but suddenly all that you leave behind, because for that second you realize how inconsequential the whole thing is.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be air travel for that, for those moments of like, yeah, landing and...
So it's more about the airport and the checks than the
air travel itself. And the pricing, and yeah,
right. Exactly. I agree with the checks part. You know, the checks can be a bit annoying. But I feel that my generation has worked our way around it, where we just don't wear anything that is too, you know, pocketed or anything, no jackets. Because I have seen I have seen my elder, like people who are of the millennial generation or Generation X, where they're wearing jeans with lots of pockets, they're wearing these, you know, like cargo pants and jackets and everything. And on the same side, there is me and my friends just wearing a tracksuit, basically. A tracksuit, a backpack, and a trolley. That is all we have. And even in the trolley, we've just packed clothes and everything. So like, and shoes also, we have, you know, those laceless shoes. Some of us are in chappals only. I think our generation has personally evolved around that whole check thing where it doesn't make us uncomfortable. And the bird's eye view is something to, you know, always wait for. Like, that is the best part.
I think it's just best to wear a sleeveless vest and undies and then nothing. You will just sail through everything, man. Like, yeah, just keep it simple. But, that was the important part. Yeah, and then have nothing to check.
Yes, exactly.
also the armrests and all that, yeah, train mein pura you can lie down aramse. Ab aeroplane mein matlab hamara cattle class mein matlab you are always fighting over the armrest. Yeah. You know? Matlab your elbow is like bumping into the other guy's elbow. Yeah, anyway, so I think trains any day.
Yeah, trains are fun too, no doubt. Trains give you more freedom if you're with a, you know, friend group or something.
Once I had to produce, I don't know, some ID on a train, and I didn't really have it. And then I just produced my newspaper in which I had written a column, and there was my photo there, you know.
Oh.
So I just showed the TT that train ki, you know, ye main hi hu. Ab ID to ye bhi chalta hai. Ticket pe naam yahi hai. Ye dekho, akhbar mein bhi wahi naam hai aur photo bhi hai. So then TT accepted it, saying, "Aapne to haddi kar di aaj. Haddi kar di aapne aaj, lekin he accepted it. Aircraft mein, they wouldn't have accepted it. They would have said, nahi, rule hai. This aise thodi na hota hai, you know."
Wow, this is peak. Yeah. This is peak. This is the perfect definition of train travel. The amount of the amount of fucks that are given.
And you know, and then the whole lovely thing about Indian trains is ki bhai ye hota hai ki bhai gaadi chalegi to sab adjust ho hi jayega. So you know, there is a great accommodative thing, like in the whole, like the passengers, the passengers will also tell you, you'll say ki ye beech mein suitcase aa raha hai, baith jaiye, jab gaadi chalegi sab adjust ho jayega. So there is this.
So, and they don't give a damn about what's in your bag. It can be from ganja to hard drugs, anything. They just want the bag to be out of the way.
So they're not interested in the... No, I'm just saying about other passengers carry a lot of luggage. So they just put that luggage in the train. And then you can't find a place to sit because it's all on the beach. But then the beautiful thing is that once the train moves, we will remove the luggage, find a spot for it. So it's not so much about the checking. It's more about the you know, Indians also brush their teeth a lot on trains.
Yeah.
They sleep really early. And like, if you want to read or something, the Indian is like, no, lights out at 9:30 p.m. And then at like 4:35 a.m., everyone's like brushing their teeth. And I'm like, wow, man. Like, because, so there's a lot more to observe in trains, you know, like you do things. And then like, so you observe fellow passengers, you observe them brushing their teeth very vigorously at 5 a.m. And and then this mysterious way in which the luggage is kind of settled, you know, like somehow this suitcase will go under the opposite seat ke niche, some big thing will go somewhere else, and somehow everything will be you know, fitted in. So I mean, I think these are some of the reasons why I prefer trains to airplanes.
Right. And I feel that your style of writing also resonates that opinion, because like you have a more personal style of writing where you have stories of actual people, and you know, you're included in the story, and even the reader is totally, you know, immersed in the experience. And I guess that you know, comes from that as well, ki the fact that you like train journeys and more personal interactions than a airplane journey where you just have to observe from a distance or something. Okay, we've established that you know, you're getting closer to opening the Kirana store in Dehradun day by day. But what I want to ask is, will you open the bar in Dehradun for the writers?
Oh yeah, I mean, man, that has always been a dream, the writer's bar and cafe. In fact, whether the dream is to like make one classic legendary place, which will be like the mothership. And then, like, they will become a chain, you know, and like we will expand all over the country. Why not? Maybe the world. But yeah, no, it's a great one. But I mean, yeah, I don't know if I'm any closer to that dream. And also, when you write about it, you've already brought it into life. Yeah. Maybe I will just create a fictional writer's bar and cafe, you know, and then like people it with different characters. And I think that's the thing about writers, that they eventually end up bringing it to life when they're doing the writing.
Yeah.
And you
and
don't
I think
need to
all
do the
writers,
actual...
I don't think all writers will be able to afford the everyday coffee because everyone's unemployed.
No, but I think I might just bring it into life as in the pages of a book or something, or as fiction. Or but who knows, maybe at some stage Dehradun there will be a writer's bar and cafe, but more likely that it will be a fictional entity.
Let's hope for it to be a real entity in the
future.
Fingers crossed, we'll get a free coffee, inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay. The last question.
Writer's special omelet. Lekhak ji fries. As you can see, the menu is not very healthy.
Comes with a nice sweet waiter who convinces everyone to get married. Lekhak ji shaadi kar lijiye.
Like, I want to hang a lot of pictures of writers, not, I mean, Indian writers, American writers, men writers, women writers, transsexual writers, all kinds of writers, man. I mean, I think you can make some, and writers make for good photographs. So if you find some legendary, hey, I'm just spilling the beans. Someone's going to listen to this podcast and actually start the thing and not give us credit.
If that ever happens, we'll have this as proof that we discussed this first.
So, yeah, I thought of the decor and, like, I don't think there'll be any bearers. Like, I will do all the waiting at tables.
Right.
And if you can, like,
it sounds lovely, honestly. Like, it sounds out of a, you know, a fictional book.
I mean, it's kind of a fancier coffee house, and coffee houses are really dying, but it's not really a coffee house because it's a writer's bar, you know. So there'll be quotes from writers, you know. I mean, this is fantastic. Writers,
a post-it note with
done with that theme.
A post-it note wall where writers can just write stuff and just stick it on that wall and stuff like that.
And of course, it will absolutely. And then, of course, it will become a hub of, like, readings and, you know, impromptu readings. And otherwise, it's just a place where you can come and no one's going to bother you, and you can sit there for hours. And, you know, so I mean.
This sounds like a business model that would work in Mumbai. That would definitely work in Mumbai.
Maybe. But then getting property in Mumbai.
That's the hard part.
One cupboard is going to be like several crore rupees. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll become a street vendor. And my trailer, my push
A hole in the wall.
I'll be a hole in the wall and we'll just call it writer's bar.
Near a college, because that would be more economically, you know, convenient.
Totally. I think location is crucial. Yes, absolutely. So, but that's my little fantasy about WBC, Writer's Bar Cafe.
If any investor is listening to this, you know the idea. Please come to us. We will execute everything. I mean, not me, but
please be an angel and give us some seed.
Okay, my final question for you, Palash, is simple. It's like, it's quite relative. How would you like to spend your days of retirement?
Oh yeah, I'm already retired. All writers are already retired. But so I suppose it's not going to change very much. Like, you kind of wake up a little late and you sort of go on long walks and cycle, and if there's a pool, then you go for long swims. And you read a lot, and I mean, reading is so addictive, right? So, I mean, one of the pleasures to just not get out of bed in the morning and just go on reading whatever you were reading the previous night. And I'm one of those readers who changes books, but in the sense, like, I will be reading three or four simultaneously. But so it's always, you know, you want to just, that's one of the greatest feelings where you do nothing and you just stay in bed and then you just continue reading where you left. So I suppose, you know, and then, I don't think my life, is going to change much before and after the time.
Yeah, it's just going to be less work and more of consumption.
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah, yeah. No, but as you grow older, your consumption goes down.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean...
No, that sounds really peaceful. Like, I mean, that is the ideal way to retire. Yeah. Lots of books, I mean, lots of swimming, lots of sun.
Yeah. I just, I would love a pool of my own. Now, I mean, you know, that's that is a fantasy. Yeah. And we tried, you know, we tried to buy an apartment in Noida because they were promising a swimming pool, and like the vast middle class, we also got fooled. The builder ran away with our money and there is no pool.
Oh, so sad.
I mean, wo mera ek fantasy tha about the swimming pool, but then, so I don't know, man, but I would love a, if the writer's bar and cafe maybe takes off.
There'll be a pool on the terrace.
That would be perfect retirement, actually. You know?
Yeah, that would be the perfect.
Writer's bar and cafe, then they will all be like, oh, that's the owner, you know, he's this legend. Okay? He always comes out to swim at 3:30 in the afternoon.
He's waiting the tables in his underwear.
Yeah, apparently he travels on airplanes, he's only in like underwear and he's really eccentric, man. No, yeah, I think a writer's bar and cafe with a pool on top or with a pool right on that same floor is also fine. But yeah, I think that is ideal retirement plan. And
I think you're going to be one very eccentric old man in the future. Air travel is going to be fun. I would like to air travel with you once. Just two men in their underwears and banyans just going through the airport, minding their own business.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I have a feeling I'm not going to grow that old. So I don't know why. I don't think I'm a long haul kind of guy. So,
you never know what's going to happen in the future, obviously. So, Palash, thank you so much for all this. It was amazing talking to you. I really loved every moment. I really loved every answer. It was funny. It was exactly what we wanted for the podcast. And
okay, great.
Really, I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much for being in the episode. And yeah,
I mean, just thank you for having me, and it was a fun conversation. And you know, as like with all good conversations, time कहाँ गया कुछ पता ही नहीं चला.
और
हमारा destinations का station has arrived. And now, you know, we have reached Bombay VT. And
yes, we have.
It's like I met someone on a journey. Yeah, it was like I met Ayan, and then we kind of became friends. And now we will like get off at Bombay VT and go our separate ways.
Yes.
But if I come to Bombay, I will definitely give you a call. And if you're ever in Dehradun, do let me.
Yes.
Because I'll and any takeaway for what? Like, there's one of those kind of questions, like advice for young writers. No, I don't think give any advice to any writer. I mean, I
don't become a writer unless you have a backup.
So I mean I think writers seem to be very touchy, but at the same time writers are very thick-skinned also. The writer is a strange sort of beast between like touchy and thick-skinned, and self-promoting and self-aggrandizing and then full of doubt and like self-deprecating. The writer, like, she is a strange mix of all these contrarian characteristics.
Yeah. And it would be pointless to give advice because everyone has their own unique style.
But you know, to do writing, you need to have a lot of confidence. But that confidence, uska flip side is also a lot of self doubt because writers never sure if this is good or not. So, you know, but one of the wonderful things about writing is when you read something you've written after a long time. And it just, you know, reads differently every time you read it. So there is that. Sometimes you're not sure, like, was this good? Was it not good? It's interesting. I'm always impressed with writers who are really articulate about their work, like Salman Rushdie. I am really not articulate about my work because I mean, writing itself is a kind of articulating some kind of confusion, and then to then further articulate it, I find it impossible.
Yeah.
Whatever I've done, it's in the writing, and then it kind of ends for me there. So, yeah. Anyway, that's my whatever final little rocket into space.
And that concludes a very heartfelt, poetic, and fun conversation with Palash. To stay updated about further episodes, follow us on your preferred streaming platforms. Be sure to follow our Instagram at ThyBookBox and join our Discord community full of fellow bookworms and nerds from all over the world. Personally, I would love to hear from all of you listeners out there. Tell me your favorite parts of the podcast by reaching out to me on my Instagram at ThePinkHatter. Stay safe, happy reading, and thank you for listening to The Pen That Writes.